Let's get started with the best 5 minutes of the day. We got our friend, I'll just call you Larry Cans. It's Jason Cans here. It's been so long, I forget your name.
Jason Crab, Larry Cans.
I know.
Whatever. Right. It's all good.
Yeah. Hey, so I'm going to have you help me do the summer reading challenge. It's winding down here. Today's August 22nd, but this pops up. So the way we're supposed to read this live copy, it says, when I was a kid, my favorite book was, what would you say for you it was?
Oh, my goodness. A book called Carcajou, which is a book about a wolverine in the Canadian wilderness. And I found it on the shelf at our library in our middle school, and I read it several times. I just loved the story.
Huh.
It was written, I think, in the early 1900s. And,
do you like the superhero Wolverine?
I do like the superhero Wolverine, although the story is quite different than that. So,
interesting. Yeah. So that's the book you think that kind of launched you into love of reading?
I think so. I think that was the first real chapter book that I liked. I loved Richard Scarry books when I was younger. I had a lot of the Dr. Seuss and Liz Bolton books.
Yeah.
But that one was really the book that I think launched it for me. So.
Well, at the tail end of this conversation with Jason, I will tell people more about the summer reading challenge. So that's interesting. Yeah, we just kind of that shows you how much we just kind of make this up as we go here on the best 5 minutes of the day. But hey, good to talk to you again for the first time since Wednesday.
Yeah.
We and the family got up north where we stayed in a coworker's cabin. And it was, and his family, and so grateful to them. But I mean, it was just with no Wi-Fi and just unplugging. And the big thing, I've already shared it this morning, that Dallas Willard advice, ruthlessly eliminate hurry. That's for me what I was trying to do. So read some more and just kind of decompress, you know?
Excellent. So did you get some reading done?
Yeah. The best book I was reading that I'm still trucking along on. Yes, and there's like two books I'm ready to pass on to you, but And they range in thought, okay? But anyhow, Love Over Fear by Dan White Jr. Have you read that?
I have. It's excellent.
It is excellent,
He's really thoughtful, measured, gentle person.
And,
good book.
I think I'm at the place now where it's this idea of having affection towards your enemies. So,
absolutely.
Okay.
Good stuff.
I thought you probably had read it, so he is good.
Yeah.
But I think to just take that to mental health, because for me, even unplugging from Wednesday night until we came back yesterday, 4 out of the 7 of us, and the idea is the other 3 came back Friday night, but it's just the idea of, like, when I would walk the dogs out to the highway and see at least a couple of cars go, it was a reminder of how fast we live. And I just think, you know, that advice, spiritually or otherwise, you just need to slow down.
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
It's so hard, though. You know, I think it's really difficult to get into that place because we always think there's something we could be doing. And so to intentionally slow down is, I know for me, it's a challenge.
Right. Yeah, there you go. Well, I don't know. I shared a verse at a group we were at last night from Ecclesiastes. One handful with tranquility is better than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind.
Mm-hmm.
And just keep that in mind here on a Monday, especially as we're going to, once you get into the fall, that whole fall schedule, right? So.
Oh my goodness, for sure. Yeah, picks right up.
All right, we're in math. Did more Bible reading when I was away, so that was good. Larry Crabb, 66 Love Letters, was into that some, so. And was reminded again why I love, and we got to bring back here the story everyone needs to hear. I've wanted to do that. We have not done that, but we will. All right. Do you remember where we're at in Matthew 7?
Yeah, Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8.
All right, go for it.
Where we're at right now.
Go for it.
Yeah, so it says, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened.
All right, here's how Jason lays it out in his devotional commentary, Letters to the Beloved. These hypocrites would have you believe that if you do not have the correct posture, theology, or holiness, I will not hear your prayers. In truth, if you ask, I will provide. If you come looking for me, you'll find me. If you knock at my door, I will welcome you into my embrace. Listen, You do not need the proper religious credentials to talk to me. It does not matter who you are. Come and ask. Thoughts?
Yeah, I think just for me, the reminder that we are welcome before God, regardless of what's going on in our heads and our thoughts. So often, I think for me, there's been that desire to want to clean myself up before I come to God. And I don't think that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, just come and talk. Just come and find me.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Hey, thanks so much. Good to talk to you again. Talk to you again tomorrow.
Sounds good.
There we go, our buddy Jason Cann. All right, Caleb, good morning.
Good morning.
Make Us Laugh Monday. We're getting some jokes. Brian and Eau Claire, Cliff and Spooner, his second joke of the morning on a Make Us Laugh Monday at 396-1670. He says, what kind of room doesn't have doors? Of course, that would be a mushroom.
There you go.
Oh, man.
Thank you, Cliff.
PCD John from Ladysmith has all kinds of jokes for us on a Make Us Laugh Monday.
What did the father buffalo say to his son when he left for college? Bye, son.
There you go. And John with another joke on the WIB listener line at 396-1670.
What is an English teacher's favorite breakfast cereal? The Great Nuts of Wrath.
I like it.
Ah, yes. Good to be back on the WIB Wake Up Show on a Make Us Laugh Monday with my friend Caleb, because Wednesday night, our family in two different vehicles made our way up north a couple of hours to the Phillips area and escaped to a cabin for a few days. So
fantastic.
Thanks to Pat and Anita Wall for providing that opportunity. And really, to unplug, I mean, there was no Wi-Fi, and so that was... We didn't tell our kids that until they showed up. But, you know, it was kind of a great break. And for the very first time, we played Throw Burrito.
Really? All
yes.
Right.
You know, it's just as hard to get everybody together for game night. And we played a lot of games and such. But no, we had a really good time with that. Thank
good.
You. I know you've talked about it in the past. And so some of the duels, like... people should get it.
There's just something about, I mean, we've even done it where you pull up like the Clint Eastwood Fistful of Dollars music on your phone when people are doing the duels. And
yeah, right.
So it's a good family game.
It was, for sure. And I played a number of other games, went kayaking, time around the fire. You love that. And then all of a sudden you feel those mosquito bites.
Yes.
But roasting the marshmallows and the whole deal. So it was just good. I encourage people, find an escape, you know, a day or two or three to just unplug. And I just love that advice from Dallas Willard, ruthlessly eliminate hurry. So I've been trying to do that, did a good amount of reading over that time. And so good to be back here today.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so many times too, isn't it? And I found myself falling into this tendency, and Lindsay and I were talking about this, how I like to get there when we're going on vacation. Uh-huh. I like to get uh-huh. there. And then it's like, well, we got to do this and we uh-huh. got to do this and we got to uh-huh. do this. And sometimes it's just the simple unscheduled things uh-huh. that create the best memories when you have some free time. So
absolutely. Walks in the woods. I mean, just different things. You need a counter. So just kind of getting ready for the busy fall time ahead.
Exactly. Well, good to have you back.
All right. The WIB Wake Up Show on Make Us Laugh Monday. And I don't know, when's the last time we each had three jokes in a Monday? You were gone last week.
Three jokes on a Monday, but actually had them ready, not frantically prepping right beforehand, but actually had them ready with, what, 10, 12 minutes to spare?
I know. So. Pretty good stuff for us. All right, here we go. Let's begin with this one this morning. Caleb, why does a gull fly out to sea?
I'm not sure.
Because it's a seagull. If it flew out to the bay, it'd be a bagel. That was for my mom. Thanks, Mom.
Yes, thanks, Margie. Hey, what did one helmet say to the other?
What?
You stay here. I will go on ahead.
There you go.
The other ones are a little bit better.
All right. Hey, so this is a text message deal. So a guy gets a text message that says, I'm here for you. And he's like, wow, thanks. I'm going through a tough time, so it means a lot. And sorry, I lost all my contacts. Who is this? This is your Uber driver. I'm here to pick you up.
It was still nice to receive that message. Well, Calvo, this was interesting over the weekend. Guess who I bumped into on my way to get my glasses fixed?
Who?
Everybody. Okay. Everybody.
All right, this is a little longer, okay? But
okay.
It's my final one. Well, those people just cracked
they
up.
They really liked that one.
All right, finally, a guy's grandfather clock stopped working. Yeah, he called a repair shop to get it fixed, but they wanted $50 to come and get it. So he's like, I'll bring it to you. So he strapped the clock to his back and started walking down the big hill he lived on. Halfway down, he slipped, and he slid down the hill into town just as a lady was crossing the street. He barreled into her and knocked her over. dazed, disgruntled, and still on the ground, she asked, "Why can't you just wear a wristwatch like everyone else?"
There you go. Make us laugh Monday on the WIB Wake Up Show. And I've got one more.
Right.
During the last administration, this was interesting. I was watching a documentary about this. During the last administration, the Secret Service wasn't allowed to yell, "Get down," anymore.
Why?
If the president was about to be attacked, they just had to say, "Donald Duck." Okay, make us laugh Monday for what it's worth, which probably isn't a lot. You can do better. 715-396-1670.
I am the champion. I am the champion. No time for losers, because I am the champion of the world.
Or at least the USA.
That's how it feels in terms of mullets on this Monday morning in Wisconsin, Caleb.
It's a mullet Monday on the WIB Wake Up Show, and we have not one, but two WIB listening area young men to congratulate on being adorned with the top mullet in this great United States of America.
Wisconsin, we know mullets, right? Emmett Bailey is the mullet champ, the 8-year-old from Menominee. Yes, Menominee here in western Wisconsin announced yesterday as the winner of the kids division for the USA Mullet Championships, beating out a pretty big crowd, 688 other young entrants and their flowing locks. The mullet competition's been running since 2020 and is the brainchild of a fella from Michigan.
Now, Caden Kershaw of Wausau, listening at 94.3 FM, took home the teen title. So we have not one, but two Wisconsin young men who have the best mullets in the United States of America. I've never grown one myself, but I respect it. I respect it.
Define it for me again, or for listeners who aren't aware exactly what it's
mullet.
Well,
you know, it's business in the front, kids party in the back. So... I know, I don't know if he's listening this morning, but a young man from my church, Scotty, who just graduated from Rice Lake High School, he had a beautiful mullet. I mean, he even, I think, had a perm in that thing for a while during his senior year of high school.
Yeah.
And it looked fabulous. I mean, just phenomenal. So maybe he could have. You know what? And actually, it looks like you can still, if you're 19 or older, you can register for the open division. So, Scotty, if you probably need to grow that thing back, because I think eventually your parents got to you and you cut it. But... you still could register.
First round voting begins September 12th. Come on now. We've taken the 8-year-old and the teen title. We got to get the open division.
Wisconsin needs to go for the clean sweep. Yes. I mean, we don't have the Olympics for a bit, so we need
something. We want the trifecta.
Congratulations, Emmett Bailey and Caden Kershaw, on your mullet wins.
We're getting closer and closer to what some would call the end of summer, you know, Labor Day, unofficially, and that means school right around the corner, Caleb.
Absolutely. And so the Washington Post collected written responses from teachers about what they want parents to know about their work and maybe what makes a good, thriving parent-teacher relationship. We thought this is worth relating, again, as we're closing in on the start of the school year here in Wisconsin. So let's dive in. The top do's. There's do's and do nots, but we're going to focus on the top, hey, do this, that teachers would say, hey, this is the advice that I would give parents about the best way to have a relationship with their child's teachers.
This first one comes from a first grade dual language teacher in a public school in Texas, and she says, do your best to try to know your child's teacher and for the teacher to get to know you better.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Very good. This comes from Nora. She's an early childhood special ed teacher in a public school in Virginia. She says, think of me as a teammate. I always aim to have a true partnership with my families. We can celebrate the great things their child is doing and work together when there are specific areas the child needs to work on. If home and school have similar goals, the child is more likely to feel safe and secure and hit all their developmental milestones.
There you go. Lori is a speech language pathologist in a public school in Maryland. She says, how about this tip? Do communicate before that you're mad. She says, reach out when you feel inclined, not just when you're upset, right? If you, this goes with high school sports too.
Yes.
I heard today that for every referee that is added in sports, 30 are retiring. Mm. So they really, really need, and so to, with the teachers, they don't let them just hear from you when you're angry. Lori says, be willing to accept that teachers may have insight about your child that may differ from yours.
And finally, one more, and again, just how to develop that thriving relationship between parent and teacher. Coming from a teacher's perspective here, this is a teacher named Margaret. She says, recognize that the demands of our work are causing so many of us to actually leave the profession. Be intentional about how you approach a teacher, because they might be desperately trying to tread water in this storm. It's certainly not easy. And that goes back to the last one, too. I mean, be quick with your compliments, and again, slow to become angry, and slow to criticize. Be compassionate. You never know what storm someone may be walking through.
Again, I've got friends who are teachers. You probably do. I mean, it is a really tough job. They could probably do other things and earn more money. So do whatever you can, I think, to work out that good relationship with your kids' teachers.
Yeah, and certainly here, you're all part of the WWIB family. So public, private, parochial, homeschool, wherever you're at, teachers, we thank you. And we're so grateful for you and the way you invest in our families and our kids.